You're listening to Succeed, Just Let Go, the podcast that'll change how you think and change your life. I'm Willie Horton and I'm a psychologist, been helping people change their lives since 1996, broadcasting from the French Alps, and delighted to have you along. Let's take this week's step in the right direction.
You may have noticed that we talk a lot in these episodes about living in the present moment. In fact, I suppose now that I come to reflect upon it, we talk incessantly about living in the present moment. And there is one single very good reason for that. And this is the only reason you need when it comes to realizing the importance of living in the present moment. This is where your life is lived. Right now is the only place and time that you can be. Actually physically be, for a start. You can't be in two places at the one time, and you're not where you'll be in an hour, and you're not where you were an hour ago. This is the only place and time that you can be physically. It is the only place and time that you can be properly, mentally as well. We've talked a lot about focus, and we've talked about how focus is a now thing. The definition of focus is that I am doing what I'm doing now, basically. And that is the big reason why we need to turn up to the here and now. This is where your life is lived. This is the only place and time that you can do whatever needs to be done now, given the circumstances in which you find yourself now, in the context of your life flowing forward. There's an awful lot in that sentence, and that's what we're going to talk about today, your life flowing forward. Because over the last few weeks, we've talked a lot about how the normal mind lives in the past. Now, this is the stuff that you're not even aware of, for the simple reason that it all happens subconsciously. We've talked about how our mind is peppered by 70,000 thoughts every day, often randomly flying through our head, though the thoughts themselves are neither random nor novel. They are the same thoughts that we've been thinking since we were 12 or 13 years old. In fact, they're the thoughts born from the psychological snapshots that we took that formed our personality when we were 3 or 4 years old. So there's nothing new about the stuff that's rattling through the normally minded individual every day. So if you're not present in the here and now, that's what is actually going on. Think of the implications of that, or perhaps reflect on the implications of that, because a little thinking is a dangerous thing. Reflect on how, if you're not present now, by default, your mind will be in the past. In other words, on the basis of what we said right at the beginning of this episode, that your life is lived here and now, if you're not managing your mind so that you are present, you're missing your life. You're missing the opportunities with which the present moment presents you. You're missing an action. Now, that's the stuff that we're not aware of. We often are aware of how we're living in the past, bitching about something that happened yesterday, gossiping about something that happened an hour ago, bemoaning the fact that we should have done something differently an hour ago or a day ago, bemoaning God knows what. An awful lot of people, as we said a couple of weeks ago, will blame their parents for the way they are now, which, as we discussed, is utter madness and an abrogation of responsibility. You're basically saying to yourself, I'm not responsible for my own life. And what's worse, I don't want to take responsibility for my own life. But right back to the start of this episode, if your life is only lived in the here and now, your life is only lived in the here and now, then the responsibility that you need to take has nothing to do with who did what to you in the past. The responsibility that you need to take now is solely related to you turning up to the here and now, turning yourself on in the here and now, that's what focus is, and tuning in to the synchronicities of flow in the here and now. Now, all that said, there's no merit in my saying to you that we have finished talking about the past. Because if you reflect on this for just a moment, say you're 50 years of age, You've been living in the past for the last 38, 39 years. It's not going to stop overnight. It'll stop gradually the more you train yourself to be in the present. It'll stop almost completely with a little practice. And that little practice, as we know, is meditation. As we know, because we discussed it a couple of weeks ago, according to neuroscience, that is the only way in which you can turn yourself on and tune yourself in. It is the only way that you can train yourself to focus. Because focus is a now thing. It's what I'm doing in the here and now. I have to be tuned in to the here and now. I have to have my so-called attentional spotlight switched on. And we know from our previous discussions that in the normally minded individual, that attentional spotlight is switched off permanently at the age of 12 or 13, so that it is immediately available if you find yourself in a life-threatening situation. The implications of that are that you miss everything else, literally everything else. And as we said, this is your life in the here and now. And if you are not training yourself so that your attentional spotlight is turned on, so that you're focused in the here and now, then you're missing your own life. Now, I've just said, no doubt we will talk about the past again at some point in the future. But let's not muddy the waters in relation to the present moment. Let us explore, first of all, how we live in the present moment and the implications of living in the present moment. I live in the present moment by experiencing the present moment. I experience the present moment by using my five senses. I practice using my five senses in meditation without my adding my own twist on what I'm actually seeing, feeling, hearing, smelling, or tasting. In other words, without my old 70,000 thoughts reinterpreting what my senses are telling me and making nonsense of my version of reality in the here and now. Now, again, we need to stop and reflect, because what I've just said is perceived reality for 96% of people on this planet. Not only are they missing their lives, and if your mind is operating that way, not only are you missing your life, you think you are living a completely different life. You're actually living someone else's life. And that someone else, your conceptual self, doesn't even exist. It's absolute madness. Why do you think I call people whose minds operate in that way normal, crazy people? All we have to do is tune into the here and now. And that is all we have to do. Because whilst the normal mind spends most of its time living in the past, a good chunk of the normally minded individual spends their time living in the future too. First of all, they start thinking about the future. And all thinking leads to overthinking. And what that means is that even if I have a pleasant thought about the future, the way in which the normal mind works means that a negative thought will eventually grab hold of that positive thought and take me down an alley and beat the living daylights out of me. I want to tell you a story. My online program owners will be very familiar with this story. And by the way, if you're not an online program owner, in other words, an owner of the psychology of success, at least for starters, you have an opportunity to do my current free online training program, which will take you through the essentials of how to focus and how to behave yourself so that you live your life to the full. You can sign up for that using the link in your podcast player. If you can't find the link in your podcast player, because people often tell me that they can't, don't know why, but there you are. Maybe they're not paying attention. But if you can't find the link in your podcast player, email me and I will send you the link. Anyway, I'm going to tell you a story with which my online program owners would be very familiar. Long before the Psychology of Success online program, I used to do what that program actually entails over the course of a 3-day face-to-face workshop in places around Paris or London, or in particular Dublin, which is where I'm from originally. So if I cast my mind back to Milltown Golf Club in South County Dublin, oh, probably 25 years ago at this stage, I had a group of seven or eight people sitting in a horseshoe shape with me for 3 days. And we came up to lunchtime on the second day, and I'd been talking about how we need to train our minds to simply see, feel, hear, smell, and taste. As I said a minute ago, not to take what we're seeing, feeling, hearing, smelling, and tasting and twist it by virtue of the fact that we allow what our senses are telling us be filtered through our 70,000 thoughts. So we've been talking about simply being, experiencing. So I asked at lunchtime on the second day my participants, if I can call them that, to go out for a walk, to go for a walk. Now, some of you will be aware that I have previously recommended a little book called The Miracle of Mindfulness by Thich Nhat Hanh. In actual fact, I only recommend the first half of that little book because the second half goes off in kind of weird directions. The first half is entirely practical. And one of the exercises that Thich Nhat Hanh recommends in the first half of that little book, The Miracle of Mindfulness, is going for a walk to go for a walk. So that's what I asked these people to do. I explained a little more about what was involved before they set off after lunch. So I said, we'll have our lunch, you go out for your walk and wander back 20, 30 minutes afterwards. First person came back after about 25 minutes and sat down. And I said, Donald, how did you get on? He said, well, that is one of the craziest experiences I have ever had in my entire life. It has only just dawned on me how mad my mind is. He said, I was walking down the hill from the entrance to the golf club down towards the Dropping Well pub, and I could feel my feet on the pavement, feel my feet in my shoes. I was fully aware of that. I could feel the sun on the back of my neck. It was lovely. I could feel the breeze on my forehead going through my hair. I could hear the breeze rustling in the leaves on the trees, and I could actually see the leaves of the trees so clearly that I could actually see the little veins in the leaves of the trees and the fluttering of the leaves. I could smell the fumes from the passing cars. I could hear the hum of their tires on the surface of the road. I could feel the muscles in my legs expand and contract with each step that I took. I could smell the fresh air. I could taste the remains of lunch on my lips. I could see the cars pass by. And a red BMW passed by, and I said to myself, ooh, isn't that a nice car? Now that's a thought. It's not a bad thought, but it is a thought. And the minute he thought that thought, a load of other thoughts rushed in. He continued. He said, I said to myself, oh, that's a lovely car. I'd fancy myself in a car like that. And then I thought to myself, there's a BMW dealership up the top of the hill in Milltown. If we finish up early this evening, I might go in and sit in a car like that. And then he said to himself, well, I could actually have a test drive in a car like that. And then he said to himself, well, that'd be stupid. I'd only be annoying myself because I can't afford that car. In fact, he said to himself, the way business is going at the moment, I'm not sure that I should have booked our summer holidays. Not sure if I can afford those. And if things keep going the way they're going, I mightn't be able to afford the girls' school fees come September. And if things really go down the drain, he said, I might be homeless. Now, what he actually said to me was, in the space of maybe 10 seconds, I went from admiring a car to being out on the street penniless without a roof over my head. He said, it all only happened in my own head, but suddenly I was a million miles away from where you asked me to be, in the here and now. It is a classic example of the way in which thoughts travel in packs. They're like gangs of gougers. They're like thugs that'll gang up on you, drag you down an alley and beat the living daylights out of you. These are your own thoughts. And that is how the normal mind works. And that is why it is imperative that we continually develop our ability to be present, to turn on our attentional spotlight and to tune in. Because there was his mind racing off into a future that doesn't exist. Your future right now doesn't exist. Your future is a load of nows that haven't happened yet. How your future pans out isn't related to whatever plans you might think you have, or whatever hopes, dreams, desires, or wishes that you might have. How your future pans out is entirely predicated on how you turn up to this now. If you don't turn up to this now, you've set yourself off on a trajectory that is going to go downward in the next now, and so on and so forth. If I turn up to this now, I set myself off in a completely different direction, because now I'm set up for the next now and the next now after that. But more importantly, if I turn up to this now, I'm going to behave myself in this now. What do I mean by that? Well, if I don't turn up to this now, I'm going to allow my mad mind figure out what it thinks is going on based on thoughts that are decades old, and I'm going to automatically react to what I think is going on based on that nonsense in my own head. That means whatever's going on at the moment, I am incapable of doing the right thing, because any reaction based on decades-old thoughts couldn't be the right reaction. And I'm going to make matters worse rather than better. And I'm going to say to myself in the next now, oh, well, there you are, made a fool of myself again, or I tripped myself up again, or I got my own way again, or I've done something stupid that just proves to me that I am the incompetent halfwit that I always thought I was. And most people aren't even aware enough to go through that little process that I've just mentioned. They'll just amble into the next now and think they're living. But you're not living if you don't turn up to the here and now. You're merely existing. And that means you're always going to misbehave when you're operating on automatic pilot that way. But when you turn up to the here and now, everything changes because you know what's going on. And once you know what's going on, you know what you need to do in the here and now to move you in the best direction for you. That's why I said a minute ago, you don't need plans. Let's explore plans for just a moment. Let's explore them, first of all, in the easiest possible context, from the way in which large corporates have business plans. Now, as I've said to any corporate with whom I've ever worked over the last 28 plus years, you don't need a plan. Plans are only the glue that large corporates use to herd the cats, to keep all the lunatics more or less traveling in the same direction. Now, we know for a fact that they won't travel in the same direction. They'll be kicking and gouging each other. They'll be knifing each other in the front and the back. They'll be turning up to work and not working. They'll be out sick and definitely not working, or possibly working, doing something for themselves. Normal crazy people, it's almost impossible to herd them. But that's what plans are for in the corporate environment. Now, people with small businesses, like me, think they need plans too. No, you need something that we said at the end of last week's episode. You need a sense of direction. Now, this is the really important thing. Once you tune into the here and now, you get a feel for what is the right thing to do. Now, as I said before, some people will say that their gut instinct is their inner voice, but that's just because they use their senses in a slightly different way from people who talk about having a feel for the right direction to move in or the right thing to do at this moment in time. Some other people will say to me, oh, it's their inner voice that they hear. Be that as it may, when you turn up to the here and now, your own instinct is telling you what you need to do in the here and now. Let's take this all the way back to evolutionary times to explain exactly how this works and exactly how your brain is already ready to operate this way. You just have to tweak the wiring a little bit. Let's go back 7,000 or 8,000 years, and I'm out hunting for tonight's dinner, and I am confronted by a person-eating beast. I don't have time to think. That is the first and most important characteristic that you need to bear in mind when confronted in a life-threatening situation. You don't have time to think. And that means you only have time to do the right thing. Now, when you're confronted by a man or woman-eating beast, because the primary goal that is built into us all is survival, your subcortical brain knows exactly what to do so that you get out of the situation in which you find yourself as quickly and as effortlessly as possible. Your brain is designed to do that. Now, unfortunately, because as we said a few minutes ago, your attentional spotlight is turned off when you're 12 or 13, your brain is only designed to do that when you're confronted by a life-threatening situation. But if you meditate, or should I say when you meditate, the subcortical components of your brain restructure themselves. So in effect, a switch is flicked in that part of your brain. That apparatus that enables you just do the right thing in the right way, effortlessly, without thinking about it, is now available to you to embrace opportunity as well as deal with threat. That is the huge advantage that living in the moment gives us. We're always, when we're in the moment, always going to do the right thing in the right way, effortlessly. You know, people often say to me, I thought that some of the key things that I needed to do in life required bravery or courage, or I thought that I wouldn't be up to doing some of the things that I needed to do, or indeed I thought that I wouldn't be up to saying some of the things that I know I needed to say to people, but I was afraid of saying. But what I've discovered is that when I'm in the here and now, I just do the right thing effortlessly, without thinking about it, and there's no bravery or courage involved. I surprise myself. I super surprise myself. I amaze myself. The really interesting thing about this is the more you surprise yourself, the more enjoyable life becomes. Surprise, surprise. All we have to do is turn up to the here and now. When you do, you will always be the right person in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. And if you slip, because we all slip, and as I said a few minutes ago, it takes time for your mind to be weaned off paying attention to the thoughts to which it has been paying attention over all of your adult life. It takes time, but over time, you will get to the point where you will invariably be the right person in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. But on the odd occasion when you push your foot in it and do the wrong thing, you'll pull yourself together very quickly. You won't regret it. You won't feel guilty about it because you will be back in the here and now, because guilt and regret are thoughts. They've nothing to do with what is actually happening in the here and now. Everybody, absolutely everybody with whom I've worked over the last 28 years has initially said to me, I don't know what I want to achieve. I don't know the true direction in which I want my life to go. I might think I do, and most people will tell me that they think they want this, that, or the other because other people have them, and surely that means they'd be a success too. I might think I want those things, but when push comes to shove, I'm really not sure exactly what I want out of life, or out of my business, or out of my family life, or my career. And they don't know simply because they think they don't know. They actually do know, it's just that they don't know they know. And you will never know that you know the best direction for you to move forward one moment at a time in your life until you tune in to the gut instinct to which we referred a few minutes ago. Then you will discover that you already know what is best for you in the grander scheme of things. But we don't need to let our minds race off into the future in relation to wondering what the grander scheme of things might be. Because the first thing that will happen when we actually use our thinking minds that way is that our thinking minds will say, ah, that couldn't happen, or you wouldn't deserve that, you unworthy individual who's in need of redemption. Yay, that couldn't happen. And even if it did happen, sure, you know, pride comes before a fall, pleasure and pain, then you'd fall on your face all over again. It's unrealistic. That is one of the biggest cop-outs that normal crazy people use. I couldn't have this wonderful life. It would be unrealistic. No, they only think it's unrealistic. But then again, they have a load of evidence to suggest that they're right in thinking that it's unrealistic because it's never happened to them before. Why? Because they were using their minds normally. And if you think it's unrealistic, it's unrealistic. In exactly the same way as we've said before, if you think you're stressed, you actually are stressed. Do you see a theme running through all of this? How bad thinking is for us? How all thinking leads to overthinking? And how even thinking about what you're doing in the here and now will lead you off into negatively thinking about the future. A load of nows that haven't happened yet. You don't need a plan. You don't need grand goals. You already know the best direction for you to move one step at a time so that you experience what I call, what my online program owners know as, perfect moments. Yes, we've talked before about setting your mind to achieve perfect moments, or should I say to experience what it is like to have achieved something in a perfect moment. Experience being the important thing. In other words, how I feel when I have arrived, if I can put it like that. And when we set our minds that way, we set our minds to imagine the experience as if we're having it already. We don't set our minds to say it needs to be this, that, or the other that I've just achieved to feel that way. Because once you go into that kind of specificity, once you hook your wagon to a certain direction, if the wagon doesn't go in that direction, you're going to be awfully unhappy. Why would you set yourself up to be unhappy when you could let yourself go and experience happiness? And dare I use the word joy? A number of my program owners talk about deep joy. When you could allow yourself experience joy by just letting go of all the stuff that you think you want and experiencing the here and now. Because the first thing most people will realize when they truly experience the here and now is that actually I have everything that I need for my perfect life right here, right now, in this moment. It doesn't mean that there's a load of crap swirling around you. It doesn't mean that today won't present you with a load of challenges. What it means is that in this moment, I'm breathing in and out. Isn't it a joy to be breathing in and out? Consider the alternatives. Now, you might say to yourself, am I suggesting that you settle for what you have? Not at all. Because what you have at the moment is a function of how you thought about who you are and how to misbehave yourself in the here and now. Everything you have, everything any normal crazy person has at this moment of time, is a function of their normal crazy thinking. It's not a function of the reality and opportunity and the synchronicity that flows in a synchronistic universe of which we are part, but of which we are completely unaware until we turn up to the here and now. Now, you may be thinking, and as we know, thinking is a dangerous thing, but you may be thinking that even if I am present in the here and now, how can I realize that all is well if I'm short of money or I don't have financial freedom? I deliberately home in on that one because people are obsessed with financial freedom or financial security. We devoted a whole program owner's Zoom to financial freedom before Christmas last year. A session in which I made the point that there's no such thing as financial security because there's no such thing as security at all. The sky could fall on us this afternoon. But there is such a thing as financial freedom because financial freedom is a state of mind. It is, I don't have a care about where my money is coming from because I've turned up to the here and now. I'm doing the right thing. And I know that the sense of direction that I have as a result of turning up to the here and now, which enables me to do the right thing, is going to enable money flow. Now, that might sound strange to you, but I've given you a number of examples of how that works in practice over the last 7 or 8 episodes of this podcast. How people tell me and tell each other on our program owner Zooms, oh, stuff just fell into my lap, or it feels like things have just happened. Or when I went beyond caring, in other words, when I didn't have a care in the world, how my dream job fell into my lap, or how money flowed, or how business fell into my lap when I wasn't thinking about it. As we've said before, the one thing that'll stop you getting what is best for you is trying too hard to get what you think you want. Now, there's a lot in that sentence. You might want to re-listen to that. The whole point is, why do you think this podcast is called To Succeed, Just Let Go? You need to let go. You need to let go of your obsession with money, because, and I can say that for almost everybody with whom I work. At one point or another, they have been obsessed with money. Most of them get over it, as a result of which money flows. You have to let go of the ideas of what you think you want. You obviously have to let go of the past. It's a foreign land. But what I'm saying, having said that you need to forget about the past over the last couple of weeks, is that you now need to forget about the future. The future will look after itself if you look after the present moment. All you have to do is turn up to your life in the here and now. Tune in to the flow, first of all, of your own energy in the here and now. We've talked about energy before. No doubt we'll talk about it again. Become fully aware of what's going on. And as we've said before, some people will say to me, oh, as a result of tuning in, I realize just how mad my mind is. Like my friend with the red BMW a little earlier on. We will realize when we are not in flow, just how noisy our minds are. Why? Because we've become aware. And all we need to do is be aware in the present moment. Because when we are aware, we know what's going on. We can spot opportunity a mile away. We can create opportunity because we are flowing energetic beings in an energetic flow. We can spot synchronicity and embrace it. We can do the right thing in the right way at the right time to lead us to what is best for us in the next now. That is how you create the life that the inner you knows is best for you. It's so simple. All you have to do is turn up to the here and now. You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. To get involved, join me in my Facebook group, strangely enough called To Succeed, Just Let Go. And for more information, visit www.willie-horton.com.